I was thinking when he was talking about in there in Acts 14, Lystra there with Paul, where the crippled raised up the crippled man there. You know, it says this young man had been lame from birth. And it's interesting. I don't know what his age was. Did it say? But from birth, he was in that condition. And, you know, John 5 speaks of a guy who was in his sickness 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, if I said it right. For 38 years, he was in that condition. And of course, you know the story of the woman who had the issue of blood 12 years, who spent all her money trying to get healed from doctors and it didn't work. Nothing against doctors. That's not why I said that. But then you have in Acts chapter 3, another man who was lame from his mother's womb. And here Peter and John comes along. You know the story. It's where they're going up to the gate, beautiful. Now, it's interesting that word beautiful there. If you look it up in the Greek, it doesn't mean beautiful in the sense of, wow, that's a beautiful building. The Greek word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but I'll tell you what it means. It means belonging to the right time, hour, or season. A lot of people read that word and said they were going up to the gate, beautiful. It was a right time gate for a miracle. And no doubt Jesus passed this man so many times because Jesus would go that way all the time. But you know, Jesus never healed him. He didn't get healed until Peter and John, the disciples, the apostles, came along at the hour of prayer. That miracle was preserved for them to do it, not Jesus himself. That's interesting. That word beautiful, belonging to the right time, hour, or season. 38 years, this guy in John 5 that way, but here comes Jesus at the right time, the right hour, and the right season. 12 years, this woman with the issue of blood. Here comes Jesus passing by at the right time, the right hour, and the right season. I want you to hear that. The right time, the right hour, the right season. I believe that we are now entering into the right time, the right hour, the right season for a demonstration of God's power to transform. I got a few people with me on it. I believe we're entering into the right time, the right hour, the right season for God's power and presence to manifest, to transform. Transform lives, and what that's going to look like is what it looked like next. People getting healed, people getting delivered, communities getting healed, communities getting delivered. It's going to look like the kingdom of God ruling in the earth realm. That's what it's going to look like. And when that happened, see, when God's presence manifests, you can't have God's presence to transform without his power. It all goes together. Transformation is all about him. He's the transformer. When he comes to town, things change. Or let me put it this way. When he manifests, things change. Because he's already here. The Holy Spirit's already hovering. But he wants to manifest himself. He wants to manifest himself everywhere in this community, all over. So what we're looking for is a manifestation of God. Revival is when God comes, when Christ comes, his presence comes. That's revival. You can't have revival without presence. You can't have transformation without presence. So our goal and our pursuit is to cooperate with Holy Spirit so he can manifest and do whatever he wants. Your life will change. Your family life will change. Your marriage will change. Your community will change. The government will change. The education system will change. Business changes. Family changes. Everything changes when he manifests. That's what it's all about. The manifestation of God in our midst. That's what we're after. If he don't manifest, we can forget about it. Because there ain't a plan that a man can come up with, or woman, that can change this mess we're in society. The only thing change it is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit tangibly. Paul, I won't go to the address of Scripture, but you can find it. I'm going to quote it. He goes to the Corinthians. He's been there several times, seen the move of God's power. But at one point, he tried to reason with them intellectually, because Paul was an intellectual at one time. Wasn't getting anywhere. But then when he went back, he says, listen, I'm not coming with wise in persuasive words. I'm not coming to reason with you people anymore, because they were Greeks, intellectuals. They love to reason. That's what we have over this region. It was a very humanistic structure. And it's ruling at your gates. It's ruling your government. It's ruling the educational system. It's ruling at the gates. It's ruling business room, where you have a structure here where man think they know what's best. But the man think they know what's best, what's better than best for society. People think they know. Paul comes back and says, I'm not coming to you to reason with you, but I'm coming with a demonstration of God's power. So your faith doesn't rest on the wisdom of man, which is the wisdom of this world, but on a demonstration of God's presence and power. See, that's what we have to have to change things. And I am convinced we are at the right time, the right hour, and the right season for it. There's been enough prayer stored up for it. And God said, I'm looking for faith. I'm looking for somebody that's going to believe this. I'm looking for somebody that's going to allow me to manifest in them and through them. In them and through them. That's how we're going to get things changed. Because he wants to do it through us. That's why he put you in the place that you work at. If you work out there, how many work? How many work in government? I saw one or two hands. How many work in the educational system? How many own their business or work in a business? See, you're in the marketplace. Do you know just about all of the miracles and the manifestation of God's presence was in the marketplace? Just about every one of them. I think it was maybe one or two that manifested in the synagogue or temple. It was out there where all the manifestations occurred. And I'm convinced that we are in this time where God is ready. And I'm going to put it in your context, Albion and Orleans County. So what is it going to take? So I heard the Lord say something to me when I walked in. He said, I want these people to know why I'm here. I want these people to know why I've come. Isn't that good? We should know why he's here. We should know why he's come. And he has a purpose. Now, I know Jesus at the right hand of the Father, but the Holy Spirit's here. It's the Spirit of Christ. You know, the Lord said something to me at the beginning of the year. He said, you know, you talk a lot about demonic manifestations because that's a part of what I do. I strategize and so we can know what we're warring against. So I research, I find out what the enemy's up to, because Paul said if you're ignorant of him, he'll get the upper hand on you. Corinthians 4, so don't be ignorant of the enemy's schemes, his devices, or he'll take advantage of you, he says. If you're ignorant of how he's worked, how he thinks, how he plots, how he schemes, he said if you're ignorant of that, he's going to take advantage of you. And he'll get the upper hand on you, what it means in the Greek. If you don't know how he worked, if you don't know how he's working in your life, if you don't know how he's working to take advantage of your personal life, your family life, your bodies, you know, whatever it is, if Paul says, if you're ignorant, you're without knowledge and understanding on how he worked, even in your community, and I'm going to put it in that context this morning, he would take advantage of your community. He'd take advantage of your government. He'd take advantage of your educational system. He'd take advantage of business. And you know what he'll do? He'll push his agenda. And you know what he'll be doing? He'll be stealing your harvest. And he'll, now hear me. He'll be ruling in the places we supposed to rule. To bring God's kingdom, God's principles, into God's culture. God has a culture. We are not to allow the culture of this satanic culture to infiltrate us and transform us. Romans 12. Paul said we ought to transform this culture. We ought to be a kingdom culture in this world, transforming it. Amen? The Lord said in John 10:10, the thief comes, he comes to steal, kill, destroy. He said, but I come. I love it when the Lord said, but okay, here's what he come to do, but here's what I come to do. The Lord said to me earlier, you talk a lot about demonic. He said, why don't you talk about my manifestation and what I'm here to do? He said, because I manifest. I appear. I demonstrate. By my spirit, I manifest tangibly. I demonstrate who I am. He said, that's what I'm here to do. To give you life abundantly. Life as I have it. My life. He said, that's what I come to do. To release my life. Not only you personally, but throughout this whole community. Every area of this community, God says, I'll release my life there. I'll release my presence there and transform it. He says, so that's what I come to do. He said, I also come, 1 John 3:8, he says, I come to destroy Satan's works. Now, I got to tell you, if we're not about destroying Satan's works, then we're not doing the will of God. Because he said, I come to destroy his works in this government, in this education system, in the business realm, in the families. He said, wherever Satan is working, I come to destroy it. God said it. I didn't. 1 John 3:8. So we should be about releasing the presence of God, the power of God, to destroy the works of the devil in our community. Luke 19:10, he says he's come to seek and save that which is lost. Now, I know we use that for people. Yes, it's true. But he says seek and save that which is lost. Do you realize that governments can be lost? The gates, the educational system, business room, that could all be captured, be lost. But he said, I come to seek and save that which is lost. Anything that's lost, anything that is not aligned with my kingdom and not aligned with me is lost. And I come to seek it out and save it. Bring it back under my roof. Bring it back under his rule. Luke 4:43 said, I was sent. This is Jesus. He said, I was sent to preach the kingdom. Not the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the kingdom. You come in the kingdom, you're saved. There's a big difference. I come to preach the kingdom. We're going to define a little what the kingdom is. For those that don't know, I'm sure most of you know. Because God is setting up Albion in Orleans County. I'm going to put it in your context. He's setting it up to bring it under his kingdom rule. You guys missed a good spot to say amen. I mean, isn't that what we want? We want everything under Christ's rule. If it ain't under his rule, it's lost. So let's look at our governing mandate with him. And then we're going to talk, I'm going to share with you what the gates are. I want to bring his rule into the gates of this community as well as your personal life. Acts 26:17-20 describes Paul standing before the government. I love these guys. These guys will preach to the government. They get whooped by them, stoned by them, and beaten, thrown in prison. And then they preach to them anyway, the gospel of the kingdom. They preach to them anyway. I love it. They're out there in the marketplace preaching the kingdom to judges, to governors, to mayors, or whatever you want to call it, to legislative bodies. They preaching the kingdom and get beat, stoned, and thrown in prison for it. And then when they get out, they tell them, leave town. They say they go back to preaching to them. The kingdom. And Paul stands before the government, and he tells them that what he was sent to do, the vision that the Lord gave him, and here it is. Acts 26:17-20. Let me give you five things he said to them. He said, I was sent by the Lord to open their eyes, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness and sanctification in Christ, that they may receive their inheritance in Christ. Acts 26, verse 17-20. If I got it wrong, I'll give it to you later. We'll keep moving, right? He's standing before Agrippa, right? To open their eyes. This is what we want to do. This is the same mandate that's on us. It's what we're looking to do in our communities. To get the community eyes open. To turn them from darkness to light. To turn them from the dominion of Satan to the dominion of God. That's kingdom. Now notice he wants to get them under the kingdom first. He said, then they'll receive forgiveness and sanctification. But I got to turn them from the dominion of Satan to the dominion of God. I got to get them operating aligned under God's kingdom. I got to get these people, you got to get this community aligned under God's rule. And then he'll bring forgiveness and sanctification. Paul said, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. It wasn't an earthly vision. It didn't come from man. You know Paul's story. But God just slapped him off his high horse and opened his eyes, turned him from darkness to light. God did the same thing to him, brought him under his dominion, gave him forgiveness, and sanctification and raise them up to go do the same thing. And that's the church's mandate right now. Paul was the chief terrorist. He was the Osama bin Laden of his day. Is anything too hard for God in Albion? And is anything too hard for God in Orleans County? He said, I wasn't no disobedient to the heavenly vision. So we're not doing this mandate that God has upon us in our communities. That means we're disobedient. Uh-oh. Is that fair to say? If we're not doing what we've been put here to do, then that means we're disobedient to the heavenly vision, which means we're captured by religion, which is one of the mountains. You know how you deal with the religious mountain? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what we're about, relationship with the Holy Spirit, who's going to reveal the Christ. Jesus said, Holy Spirit's got to come. I got to get out of here so I can send Holy Spirit. He's going to convict the world of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he says he's going to take from me and make it known to you. If that's not happening, then we just religious folk. Because the Holy Spirit got the key to the community. He's got the key to transform the community. Holy Spirit has it. And if we're not listening to him, we can't get the key. And no matter how much we try, we can't get it done without him. He's got the key. Isaiah 55, I think it is, the Lord says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than yours. Far above the earth and to the heavens. And it's interesting to me how God does things to change a city and change a region. You study history. He's not going to do it like you think. His ways are high above ours. His thoughts are higher above ours. He has the key. I don't want to go in this rabbit trail. But he has the key. All right. Let me keep going. So God is government. Let's talk about this and share a few points about the gates. First thing I want you to see that God himself is government. As you see in Genesis 1, he's the creator of all, say, heaven and earth. Isaiah 33:22 says about this about the Lord. So the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Judge, judicial branch, lawgiver, legislative branch, king, executive branch. All three branches of our government, the Lord says, I'm the government. I'm the judicial branch. I'm the legislative branch. I'm the executive branch. He said, I'm the government. And I have a kingdom in the way I govern. Jesus said, I'm the king right there. I'm the judge, I'm the lawgiver, and I'm the king. And then he says, I'll save you. Boy, that's good news. So the kingdom is right there in the Old Testament, the kingdom. Is from Genesis to Revelation, the kingdom. The kingdom is the Lord. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And he says, I want to save you. I got the key to save this community. He said, I got the key to save it. You notice when I get excited, my voice goes up. He's a judge, lawgiver, and king. That's a good scripture to pray over the gates of your community right there. to go down to that courthouse, the legislative house there, whatever's in there, is a government building? Wait, that's a good scripture to go pray over, to declare over it, and keep doing it until it get aligned with the kingdom. Go there until I release the Lord Jesus into this government, into this judicial branch, this legislative, this executive. I release the Lord here. He's the ruler. Just go stand there and prophesy it, decree it. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our king. The Lord is our lawgiver. He's going to save us. There you go. All right. I'm just a little bit calm today. So Genesis 1, 26 and 28 is God's original intent for his sons and daughters from the beginning. He gave us dominion from the beginning. You know the story for time's sake. I'm not going to go all the way there and break all that down, but he created us in his image and likeness. He gave us dominion, not over each other. He didn't tell man to rule over man. And then twisted that all around, and that's how we get all of this slavery and all this other stuff. People misquoting, these groups misquoting. That it's probably happening in this community, but that's a rabbit trail, so I won't go there. But anyway, God gave us dominion to rule. That's our original mandate, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. The Hebrew word for subdue, it means to conquer, to rule over, to bring it into subjection. The whole earth. In other words, bring Albion, let me put it in your context, bring Orleans County under my rule. I put you here to do it. If God didn't put you here, then you better get out real quick. But if God put you here in these boundaries, then you have an assignment, a mandate from heaven to do just that. To work with the collective body here, to come in agreement with God's assignment here, and begin to mobilize to do it, to bring it, Albion, Orleans County, under the kingdom rule. And if that happened, look out. You talk about transformation, that's what's going to happen. I don't know how he's going to carry that out, but that's what he want to do. You guys will figure that out. Conquer, to rule. Dominion is a Hebrew word, radah. It means to rule, to reign, to govern, to take over. Ooh, I like that. Take over. People got a problem with Christians. That's in the word. Do you know that's a kingdom word? That's in the word dominion. That's in our assignment, our mandate. God said, I put you there, take it over. But I love how God taught. We done had too much religious talk. It's time to talk like God. Take it over. I'm going to back you up if you take it over. He told Joshua, take these people in that land. Go possess it. Well, wait a minute. Under Moses, we got 12 go out, and these are leaders. 80% of them were scared. So Joshua and Caleb has to wait 40 years, and these two now, God said, take them in to possess it. They're not afraid of the giants. They're not afraid of what's going on, what Satan is doing. The only reason why Satan is doing what he's doing in our community is because we are letting it. And God told me that about my city. My people are letting him do it. You're letting him have what's yours. You letting him have your government. You letting him have the education system. This is what the church did years ago. We turned it over to him. The gates, we turned it over. The places of authority. The places of influence. I'm way ahead of myself. I'm giving you what the gates are. The places of authority. Places of influence. Places of government. Education. Business. Arena. These are the gates of a community. And those are the main three that makes up a city and a community. Government, education, and business. There's more, but those are the main three. And we pretty much have turned it over to him. We bought into the lie of separation of church and state. Now, we just sang a song about believing lies. We might as well just get these lies out of us and go back and look at our mandate and say, it's time for us to come together and rise up and take it over. And I'm not meaning in a hostile way where we're treating people bad. I'm talking about in the spirit first. We ought to love people. We ought to hate evil. God loves people dearly. He died for every individual here. He took the sin, but he hates evil. We have to get all the way on God's side, love what he loved, and hate what he hates. He loves people. I don't care what kind of lifestyle they have. He loves them dearly. I'm an ex-druggie off the streets of Rochester. Man, he loved me dearly. He chased me and caught me in my sin. Yet when I was in sin, he died for me. These evil people that's manifested evil in your community, God loves them dearly. And he's chasing after them. You ought to bless them. You ought to pray for them. That God would begin to rend the veil off of their minds like he did Paul. But you ought to hate them evil forces that control them. And you ought to go to war against them. Ephesians 6:12. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in high places. Spiritual forces of evil. They manifest in the culture. And when you have a demonic government like that over a community, what Satan does is he strategizes over your gates. Because he knows that God is the one who set those places of influence in place in a community. He knows God has given you his people authority over them. So he strategizes on how he can capture them and influence them. And then you know what they do? They start legislating. They start writing policy, laws. This is all done at the gates. Same-sex marriage, abortion, all of this stuff we see. And please, I've heard people say, well, you can't legislate righteousness. Were they legislating unrighteousness? Why not? God commands us to write laws, policies. That's a part of kingdom activity. To set policy, laws. We're supposed to be the conscience of the region, the church. We're supposed to be the ones at the gates. It was the elders of Israel who sat at the gates and determined laws, God's laws. I don't know how much time I got. 11:30? All right. I'll keep going. Lindsay tell me to stop. Pastor Tim, Lindsay tell me. All right. So Matthew, let's pick up in Matthew real quick. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus tells us to go make disciples of nations and teach them. We cannot disciple our communities without being involved. Got to be involved. Now, Mark 16 commission, there's a powerful message on this by Dutch Sheets. He calls it the two commissions out of Mark 16 and Matthew 28. In Mark 16, he doesn't say anything about discipling nations or teaching. He said, go get them saved, get them delivered, get them baptized, get them healed. And then in Mark 28, the other part is, then disciple the nation. Teach them what I taught you. You see the difference? We have... In the kingdom, we ought to bring the whole package to the community. Get them saved, get them healed, get them delivered, and then teach them the principles of the kingdom. Those that's in government, that's born-again believers, we need to be teaching them, because they're in places of influence, how to change that structure they're in. By bringing the kingdom principles there. Education system, boy, that's a big one. They feeling, I'm glad I was able to homeschool my kids, because they filling these kids with all kinds of garbage. Now they getting them in preschool. They got homosexual genders for preschoolers. Satan strategized. He tried to capture them early. I'm sorry, I don't hate homosexuals. I love those people. I had some living next door to me, two men. We loved them. They became the best of friends with me and my wife until they moved out. They teaching them not just homosexual agenda, they teaching them all kind of other sexual agendas too. See, we got to rise up and get involved. Bring them under the kingdom, the king's domain. That's kingdom. It's Christ and his rule. That's our priority, according to Matthew 6:33. Jesus put the priority on the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and everything else on the line. Matthew 6, 9-10, Jesus gives the priority in the focus of prayer. Pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, will of God be. On earth, in Albion, in all these counties, as it is in heaven. You see, he puts the priority on seeking the kingdom, the priority on praying that the kingdom come, the priority on preaching the kingdom. The priority is the kingdom to get this community under Christ's rule. Find out who's in that education. Find out who's the business leaders around here. Find out who's the influencers. You got to find the influencers because the gates are places of influence. It's places of authority. They make decisions on behalf of this community. And you and I are underneath that. People say, well, that doesn't bother me. Well, I got a problem with that. It should. I'll just live my life for Jesus in my little closet. Where is that in the Bible? Last time I checked, we're a city on a hill. We're the light. We're the salt. We're the influencers. Find out who's in the places of influence, of business. Get their names. Find out what they believe. Find out what they're legislating. Whatever the legislative body is, find out. Get them. Get their names. Find out who they are. Pray for them. Pray for them, Paul says. Pray for those who are in authority. Find out if they're believers and how you can connect with them. Even if they're unbelievers, we need to connect with them. And influence them. You can't influence if you're not connected to people. Let them know who you are. Because I'm going to tell you something. Guess who they're going to come to when they need help? If they know the church is really concerned and love them and praying for them, let them know you're praying for them. Invite them to a prayer meeting just to bless them. Even if they're a Satanist who's ruling the government or education. Even if it's Andrew Cuomo. He might not come, but hey. Yeah. God loves them. Find out who they are. They're influencers. They're influencing the kingdom. They are gatekeepers of the community. You got gatekeepers of the house of the Lord, and you got gatekeepers of the community. You got gatekeepers in that government. You got gatekeepers in education. Every one of those mountains, you got gatekeepers. Now, they're going to either be godly gatekeepers or ungodly. And the gatekeeper is the one that opened the gate for stuff to come in and for stuff to flow out. You're a gatekeeper over your house. You're a gatekeeper over your heart. Scripture says, guard your heart. You're a gatekeeper over your life, your family. What are we letting into our house? What are we opening up to? Genesis 28, Jacob, you know the story. I'm all over the place, and then I'm going to give you a few points, and I'm going to close. So much for this stuff. I bring notes, and You know, I tried to do a PowerPoint once, and I got the introduction up there, and the next thing I know, an hour later, I was done, and the introduction was still on the PowerPoint. So Matthew chapter 16, throw a few verses at you. Jesus quotes it. You can read it. It's where he comes into the region of Caesarea, whatever, Philippi. He comes into that region, and you know the story. He says, who do men say I am? Who do these people saying I am in this community? And, you know, they believe the reincarnation, so there's some say, well, you're the one, you're the prophet who come back and all of this stuff. And then he said, well, who do you say I am? To his disciples. Who do you say I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, son of the living God. Bless you, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Father revealed that to you. From that revelation, I'm going to build my church. Now, he didn't use the English word we have in our Bible, church. It wasn't a religious word. It was a political word, a governmental word. The Greek word is ekklesia. Totally different than what we're calling church. This is what Jesus said he's going to build. But let me back up. The word build there, when he said, I'm going to build, the word build there is the, a lot of people don't know, is the Greek word oikos. Goes back to oikotomeo. You know what it means? Family, household, generation, lineage, and all of that. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to take my family and build my family together. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 2. You keep reading down there, that we become the household of God. Peter said, we're living stones. And he quoted a scripture earlier about the temple in the Old Testament. Well, the temple in the New Covenant is us. Paul taught it in Corinthians. We're the temple now. We're the household of God now. He doesn't dwell in temples made by man's hands anymore. He dwells in a living organism, a people, which is his family. And then he says, I'm going to make them an ecclesia, a government, a governing family, a government. It's the word for government. It's the word for a legislative body. He said, I'm going to take my family and build them together in a community. Because Acts 17 said God determines your times in which you live and the boundaries in which you live. That's why I said if God hasn't determined your boundaries here, you better find out where they are. And so when God puts people in boundaries, he builds them as his governing family in those boundaries to rule the gates and bring that community under his kingdom rule so his principle and the culture of the kingdom can permeate that society. All right, so I'm going to finish right now. So in Genesis 22:17, God gave Abraham a promise. He said, your descendants are going to possess the gates of their enemy. See, the enemy has gates because Jesus went on to say the gates of hell in Matthew 16 is not going to prevail against his governing family. See, when we're built right, when we understand our mandate and we're moving right, the gates of hell cannot prevail against our community. If the gates of hell is prevailing, I tell them this in my city, if the gates of hell is prevailing against this city, then we're not built right and functioning right here, according to Christ. Because if we are, he'll back us up. All heaven backs us up. Man, we got angels, we got power, we got gifts, we got supernatural, all kinds of authority and power. We got the God of heaven and earth backing up his family. Father's backing his children if his children get aligned with him. Glory. To possess the gates was to possess the city. You get the gates, you get the city. You get the places of authority, the places of influence, you get the city. You get the town. You get the community. The balance of power shifts, and you become the head, not the tail. They're the places of authority, influence. They're the entry points into the city, the gates. They're the most strategic places of the community. Whoever controls the gates controls the flow of resources. This is why we got to get in place, because if you get corrupt leaders in place, as you all know, all of the resources get channeled for corruption. And those are God's resources for his kingdom business. And he wants to transfer them into his people's hands to further his kingdom, but he's got to get his people positioned right. They'll open the gates to death. They'll swing them right open. And then they'll legislate it. But that's changing. The states, see the states he quoted, and you've been watching the news, that's moving in legislation, pro-life legislation. You know what's happening? Those are the states that the ecclesia is rising up and saying, no more. We're going to control this government. We're going to get positioned right in this education system. We're going to get positioned right in this government, and we're going to legislate the laws of God. We're going to say no to death and yes to life. And we don't care who get mad, because the reason why these groups are manifesting before our eyes is because the principalities and powers that control them is scared. Because the church's rising up. That's what Satan scared of. And he's manifesting through these groups with violence. Those are principalities and powers that's manifesting in a culture that's out of God's rule. It's the demons that's afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid of this preaching. They're afraid you're going to rise up. But guess what? You have the authority from God to rise up. These are your borders. You rule those gates. I'll come out here with you and help you. But somebody's got to rise up and change it. Whoever controls the gates controls the resources. In the most vulnerable place. In 2 Samuel 18, 24 to 26, Nehemiah 13, 9, the watchman was stationed at the gates with the king, with the governmental leaders. They had towers there where watchmen will watch to see who's coming toward the city and warn the king. That's another principle to teach on in prayer. But the watchmen also help guard the gates. All right, let me finish. I done preached every note here I got. Let me see what else. Bring ketchup back with you. Oh, no, that's something else. All right. Turn with me. I'm going to end with this scripture. I really am going to end. I done covered my notes. But I'm really going to end with this scripture, and I want to pray for you. Guys, I get intense. Please don't think I'm mad at you. I'm yelling. I always go home and say, Lord, gosh, why can't you just let me calm down and just talk? He said, because I didn't create you that way. I know your heart. I know you're doing what I mean. Please, you know, because I yell and get intense and get out there and comfort. I'm very confrontational, but I love you. And I will help you. I will go to war with you. I would do anything to help you. Become all that God has put you here to be. I will. This man will tell you I will. That's why he wouldn't have me here if he didn't know that. I'll drive out here. You're my neighbor. You're just next door. So Isaiah 28:6. Verse 5. In that day the Lord of hosts will become a beautiful crown and a glorious diadem. The remnant of his people. Ooh, I love that. Did you hear that? The remnant. We got to have a remnant of his people in a community. Verse 6, a spirit of justice who sits in judgment, a strength to those who repel or turn the onslaught at the gate. God said, I'm going to be a spirit of justice to them. I'm going to be a strength to them who turn the battle, another version say, at the gate. Places of authority, the places of influence. The Lord says, if you focus on that with me, I'll be a strength to you. I'll be a spirit of justice to you, because you have to have justice and righteousness in places of authority, because justice and righteousness is the foundation of his throne, which is his rule. But see, when the enemy is ruling those places, there's unrighteousness and injustice. And so we're in a time to shift it back under the kingdom rule of Christ, which brings righteousness and justice to a community. People get taken care of like they're supposed to. I'm going to read this and I'm done packing up. I think I might have went over. Listen at this and I'll be done. I'll pray for you. All right? The praying church, or the praying people, are the body politic of the world. Listen at this. The praying people are the body politic of the world. And the church holds the balance of power in world affairs. Not only in future ages is she the ruling and governing force in social order, but even now, in this present throbbing moment, by means of her prayer power and to the extent in which she uses it, the praying church is actually deciding the course of human events. Someday we should discover that prayer is the most important factor in shaping the course of human history. I don't know who that's from. I'll find out. But I think it's from somebody sent me that quote. I'll send it to Lindsay. See, I got so caught up. And I didn't do that on purpose. But anyway, bless you guys. Listen, stand up. Stand up. I hope I was able to encourage you guys, stir you up, stir your faith, charge you to do it. You're Christ's governing family here. He put you here for it. He's going to back you up. Align right with authority. Do it right. Don't run off and think you can take on everything by yourself, because you can't. You got to be under the right authority and get involved. Thank God. You are involved. I mean, when me and my wife came to the CareNet banquet, we went back saying, oh, my goodness, that was so exciting to be a part of that. To see in this county the just what we saw at that banquet, standing on God's side for life. I'm going to tell you something. God sees that. God's going to honor that, and God's going to put his favor on that. And you could perhaps be a leading county in a movement of life up in this region. Because that was powerful to us, to see a banquet put together for life, to stand for life and sold out 400-plus people come together for that. Guys, I'm telling you, I mean, even coming out here this morning, it's different. The atmosphere is changing. And I'm not telling you that to just blow smoke to you. I'm telling you the atmosphere here is changing. It's beginning to align with God's will and God's kingdom. I'm telling you, don't back up. Do not back up. Press in. Push. 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 Don't back up. So, Father, I thank you for my family here. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank you this morning for what you're doing here. We thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you, Lord, that the work you begun here, even years ago, you are faithful to complete it. And Lord, we thank you for this transitional time we're in. We're moving into the new. This church, this particular fellowship, And I would say the church in this county is moving into the new. Lord, we just declare the new, just say the new, Lord, the new move of God throughout this whole county. And I'm going to tell you, don't ignore, see, a lot of times we don't realize what God's doing with the spiritual because we're not watching what physical what's happening. The new building, you're building something new. You're in transition. Do you hear me? You're in transition to move into something new, even physically, a new sanctuary. That's a symbol of what God's doing in the spirit. That's a sign to you what God's doing in the spirit. You're transitioning out of the old into something new. Three phases of transition. One, you have to leave the old. If you're going to go from one place to the other, a new place, you got to leave the old. I mean, you learn the lessons, you take principles, you take the revelation with you into the new, but you got to leave the old structure, the old way of doing things. You got to leave it if you want the new. And you, as you're navigating through that, yeah, there's some confusion in it. But the key is to stay focused on the Lord and His word and His presence. And sooner or later, you get established in your new place. That happens in the spirit as well as what's happening here in the physical is happening in the spirit. So stay focused. Stay with the Lord. Keep seeking His presence as you transition into the new. And I believe that's what's happening in this whole area. So, Father, we declare it now. Thank you. And we bless this place. And we say, Kingdom come. Your will be done. Amen.